and just kind of got started a week or two ago. And so we're in the last part of these verses this morning here. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 18. All right, the Bible says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." All right, if this microphone gets too loud, some of you at the back, some of you church members at the back, you may just need to wave to them, because I can't tell what this mic is going to do. So I'm going to preach this morning on fight or flight. Fight or flight, an old saying that pretty much means, are you going to fight or are you going to flee or are you going to run? Fight or flight. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless the message this morning? Would you help us as we see this truth? And Lord, you know, and I know that we live in a very effeminate society where it seems like people that should be fighting are not fighting, and the people that need to shut up want to fight and hit your windshield with a skateboard and all of that nonsense. And Lord, I pray that today some Christians would realize we are in a fight, scripturally in a fight, and we must stand up and fight against some things. So help us, because I know even in church setting, there are some people that don't even like the word fight, but it's in the Bible, and so help us, Lord, as we cover it this morning. Well, thank you for what you'll do. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. We see in our passage here, we see several military terms that are used. First of all, we see the word charge. That doesn't mean your credit card. The word charge. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." Of course, Paul, we talked about it last week, is challenging his spiritual son, his son in the faith, not his physical son, but Timothy, and challenging him. So he says, "This charge I commit unto thee." The word charge means a command. Not only that, it means an urgent command. It is a military term. It is a military command. He goes on to say in verse number 18 that I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He's not talking to a soldier in the Hebrew army, if you will. He's not talking to a soldier there in perhaps a Gentile army. Timothy's dad was a Gentile, was a Greek. He's talking here to a born-again Christian. He's talking here to a preacher of the Word of God, pastor at the church at Ephesus at the time of this writing. And he says to Timothy, "I want you to war a good warfare." Now, we go through that verse quickly and we think, yeah, fight the fight. But the word war, he says, "I want you to war." It's used as a verb there. And that word war, he says, "I want you to contend." Not only that, but the definition, when he says, "I want you to war," the definition there also is to make war. In other words, to pick a fight, to start a fight. He said, "I want you to war a good warfare." A warfare is a contest. It's a struggle with spiritual enemies. I don't want to make this political today. You've heard me say it a million times, I am not a Trump fan. I like the way he governs, and he's better than what we could have, but I'm not a Trump fan at all. But I tell you, I was thinking about something the other day, because he is so beaten down by the press and the liberals. But have you all realized that the man has kept us out of wars? He's kept our soldiers from going and fighting and dying on foreign fields. He doesn't get the credit he deserves in a lot of ways. But the Bible says here, as Christians, war a good warfare. And then in verse 19, it even uses another phrase that has to do with military. But he says, holding faith and a good conscience. By the way, we had our conscience before we had the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit of God strengthens our conscience. He speaks to us. He dwells within us. But the Bible tells us in Romans that the Word of God was written on our heart before we even got saved. We were born with right and wrong, and that is our conscience. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. In other words, do what you know you ought to be doing. Do what's right, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. That phrase there, put away, is a military term. Let's put them away. Put away, that means to push away with force. Now, we'll see that verse a little bit down the road. But in other words, we're to be on the offensive rather than the defensive. We're to be fighting some fights, fighting the good fight, rather than waiting for the fight to come to us, rather than waiting to see if a battle comes to us. We are to be looking for a fight against the enemy, and we must be careful to know who the enemy is and who the enemy is not. You know, have you ever seen those churches on TV where they say, turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the enemy. Or they'll say, turn to your neighbor, say, I believe Jesus is Lord. You know, I'm not going to make you do that tonight, but this morning, but I would say this, the person sitting across the church from you is not your enemy. The preacher standing behind the pulpit this morning is not your enemy unless you can't get the lapel mic working. But the person standing in the pulpit is not your enemy. But yet, too many Christians today, because they refuse to fight the right battles, they'll make an enemy out of church, out of their church family, or out of their preacher. That's why Paul said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So he says here in verse 19 that there's a crowd that makes enemies out of the wrong people, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith. He says they pushed away with force, not the real enemy, but they pushed away with force the faith, the things of God in their life. And by the way, this is how it ends in verse number 19, have made shipwreck. They've wrecked their life because they made enemies out of the wrong people. Now I want to say this by way of introduction, that the Christian life is a battle from day one. It's a battle from day one. Listen to some of these verses. In 2 Timothy 2, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, endure, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness. Folks, we're going through some hardness right now, some tough times right now, and winners never quit, and quitters never win. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen to the terminology here. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God calls us soldiers. He tells us to endure hardness, endure tough times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the grace, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And folks, we're living in the evil day. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul said in his dying breath in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so the Bible makes it very clear that as born-again Christians, we're soldiers of the cross, and that we're to put on the whole armor of God, and it makes it very clear who the fight is with and who the fight is not with, and it makes it very clear that we're to be strong and fight a good fight, that we're in a warfare. Too many today want the benefits of being in the reserves, but they don't want to be called upon to fight any battles. And that's why churches today are changing their Bibles. That's why they're allowing the contemporary music in. That's why they had no more standards. That's why their youth department go out and look like the world and act like the world. Why is that? In many of those churches, it's because someone or some ones in the past were willing to put up a fight, but somewhere, like an old preacher that told my dad, the guy that retired in Fort Worth years ago when my dad took that church, and my dad just had a mess there, and the old preacher said, Brother Ogden, I just got tired of the fights. I just got tired of the fight. I thought about that song in our songbook, am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And that's a great song, but I disagree with the wear a crown, because we're going to cast those crowns at Jesus' feet. And none of us is going to be anything when we stand before our Savior and see those nail-scarred hands. But I just want to say to you this morning, Christians, wake up. We hear a lot of talk about, and we talked a couple of weeks ago about when we obey government more than God. But we hear a lot of talk today about how we're just allowing things and the government is beginning to control us more and more. But friend, listen, if we're not careful in our Christian life, we don't put up some fights, we're going to be conquered by the enemy. We're in a battle for our family. We're in a battle for our faith. We're in a battle for our future as a church. There are states that are still to this day trying to stop churches from meeting. And friend, I don't know about you, but I want to take a stand, whether it be in this town or this county or this state. We have the right to meet as a local church. Or the faith, the Bible says in Jude, not even put that scripture in my message, it just came to mind though in Jude, that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. Friend, we better fight for our families. This is not a coronavirus thing. It's a weird year for all of us, no doubt. Most of us are stressed and tired and upset and wondering when this is going to end, and we want to move forward with our life. But I'm telling you, we better do the best we can to protect our family during this time also. You know that in Kentucky there was a couple that one of them tested positive for coronavirus. The authorities showed up to their house and said, we need you to fill out this paperwork saying that you'll stay in your house and self-quarantine for 14 days. They said, we're not filling out any paperwork. We'll stay here, but we're not filling out any paperwork. The next day, five police officers showed up to their house, put them under house arrest, put ankle bracelets on, ankle, you know what I'm talking about, ankle monitors on, perfectly innocent people. That's the United States of America. Do you know in California, some of them have brought up the idea of if you test positive, that the CPS, basically, we may go and take your kids from you because we're going to keep your kids safe. Folks, we're in a fight. And we're not even talking about that today. But I'm saying in our Christian life, we've always been in a fight since the day we got born again. And in 20 years of pastoring, I've seen a lot of people give up on the fight, and they want to fight the preacher, and they want to fight the deacon, and they want to fight the Sunday school teacher, rather than realizing who the real enemy is. Instead of waiting for the fight to come to us, we must take the fight to the enemy. So today I want to give you four enemies that you and I need to be fighting. And it's not the government, and it's not the Democrats, and it's not the this and the that. You do what you want on your own. And you know what? I'll tell you this: I'm not getting tested. I don't have symptoms anyway, but I'm not getting tested. I'm not going to go get in some free line, because the stories I'm hearing, man, I'm telling you, it's. Thank God we live in Texas, supposed to be home of the free. Right now, it's home of the masks. But thank God we live in Texas. And I know, and the coronavirus, I've said it over the past several weeks, it's a real deal. And I know people personally that have been sick with it. I know people personally that have died partially as a result of the coronavirus. I'm not downplaying that. But you're not paying attention if you're not seeing the craziness going on right now in our world. But that's going to, they're going to do what they want to do. Now, I'm going to talk to you spiritually about some areas where you and I have got to fight the enemy. All right, four enemies that I want to show you today. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 10. And we're going to be looking at the last part of the chapter. Hebrews chapter number 10. Begin to drink of water here. This is not an enemy you probably would have ever thought I would have thrown out at you, but I believe we see it in the Bible, and I believe it's an enemy we need to fight. Number one is this. We need to take the fight to our feelings. We need to take the fight to our feelings. Are you not seeing an example of that in our world today? Well, that offends me. You should change it. That upsets me. So they're going to change the names of colleges. They're going to change the names of buildings. They're going to change the names of sports teams, because if that offends me, and that's what we're living in, this touchy-feely, it's all about my feelings. And folks, guess what? It's in the local churches also. Somebody said this, well, while they're changing names, they ought to change the name of the payday candy bar so as not to offend those lazy people that never see a payday. I'm for it. I was thinking, while they're changing names, why don't they change the name of that? They have white tuna fish or something. I don't want to be called tuna. Quit calling it white. I mean, that's how silly we're getting in this world today. Amen. Everything, that I don't want to, you are trying to take me down this road, and I'm not going down this road. We're so silly. We're so silly. But we need to take the fight to our flesh, our feelings rather. Flesh is number two. You can go to sleep now in a minute. Look at verse number 32, Hebrews 10, 32. Now, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but either way, it's the Holy Spirit of God saying, listen, as a Christian, think about this, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, all right? You got saved, you got in church, you got faithful, you got born again, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. So he's saying, so, you know, your family, your friends, your coworkers, they started staring at you, mocking you, making fun of you. They're going through a phase. What in the world? Why are you dressing like that? What do you mean you don't want to hear my dirty joke? What do you mean you've given up cussing? He's saying, remember those days. And partly, while you became companions of them that were so used. All right, so you got you some Christian friends. He said, verse 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He said, look back to when you first got saved, you first got in church. You didn't care what people thought. You were just glad to be in the center of God's will. And he says, where did your confidence go? I thought you were going to dress to honor God and didn't care anymore what people thought. I thought you were going to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and didn't care anymore what the cousins or the sister or the brother or the parents thought. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence. You know what he says there? He says, quit letting feelings control your life. Amen. Too many Christians today live by feelings, and we live on the defensive, and we're just waiting till we get our feelings hurt. We're kicked back on our heels, and if they ask for prayer for them, but they didn't ask for prayer for us, or if they have a shower for them, but they didn't have a shower for us, or if they shook their hand, but they didn't shake our hand. Folks, you know what I'm saying is true. And it's like, we're just waiting. And I tell you, I've got my list. And so-and-so had that, deacon so-and-so hadn't shook my hand in 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm telling you, this is the last week. If they don't, you know why they haven't shook your hand in 2 or 3 weeks? Yet you've not shaken theirs. Shook, shick, shaken. I don't know how it's supposed to be said. I don't know all the tenses. Just shh. Just remember that part. You say, I know, isn't that silly? I guarantee you there is a crowd like that. There's a crowd like that. We need to take the fight to our feelings and say, feelings, you're not going to control my life. You know, some days you're not going to feel like going to church. Some days you're not going to feel like staying married. Some days you're not going to feel like you're saved. Some days you're not going to feel like you wish you. And we cannot let feelings and emotions control ourselves. I've read this before. It's good. I didn't write it. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with the youth, help adults, run a bus route, work in children's church, or anything else, I'll be there. He can use me because I'm faithful. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I'm still saved and I'll still come out. Even I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Government cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and bring me back to rule and reign in this world with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. And friend, that needs to be you and I who say, you know what? I'm going to quit letting feelings control my life. Well, I just feel like this and I think that, and I got my feelings hurt at this church and they did this at that church. And it's just, and we're constantly allowing the way we feel. Folks, we need to quit waiting for the fight to come to us. We need to take the fight to our feelings and say, no, not controlling my life. Not anymore. Secondly is this. We need to take the fight to our flesh. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Fights that we need to fight. Fight or flee. Fight or flight. We're gonna fight or we're gonna run. We're either gonna fight and say, I can't allow 10 weeks of good to be destroyed by 1 week of bad because I'm having a bad time in my marriage. Or I'm having a bad time at church. We cannot let feelings control our life, but neither can we let flesh control our life. I think Paul said this. I think he was talking about the fight here in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I want to run my race faithfully for the Lord. And he said, I realize it takes self-discipline. I realize it takes temperament. It takes being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But he said, so fight high. I don't want to be a castaway. He said, so I'm going to fight. And friend, today I want to say to you that we have to fight against our flesh on a daily basis. And I know that involves emotions, but it also involves the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh that would take us out of the will of God. Paul said about his flesh, he said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said this, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I just want to say to you quickly, we must stop letting our flesh control our life, and we must learn to crucify the flesh every day. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yet not I. We need to learn that. It's not about me. But Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, listen, there are some days where my flesh is, my flesh is awful every day, just like yours. But there are some days where my flesh is really fighting me, really battling me. And what we need to do is wake up every morning and quit waiting for the flesh to bring the fight to us, and let's just take the fight to the flesh and wake up and say, God, help me today. I don't want to live in the flesh today. I don't want to live based on my emotions today. I don't want to live based on my my earthly desires, my fleshly desires today. I don't want to go around and call shame to the name of Christ today. Take the fight to the enemy. He said, Timothy, I want you to war a good warfare. I want you to go out and fight. But he said, I want you to fight the right enemy. Number one, we've got to take the fight to our flesh. Number two, we need to take the fight to our flesh. And then also, number three is this, we need to take the fight to the devil. We need to take the fight to the devil. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Every day, let's take the fight to our feelings and say, no, I know I feel a certain way today, but I'm not going to let that control me, because our life is not to be controlled by feelings, but rather by fact and by faith. Fact is the engine, and faith is that cart in between. Feelings is the caboose, and guess what? The caboose is sitting downtown. They don't even get used anymore. But so often, we turn that around, and we allow feelings to control our life, and then instead of faith, we're living in doubt, and then instead of facts, we're dealing in what ifs, and what if they don't like me, and what if they don't want me there? And folks, we just need to say, no, we're going to drop that caboose downtown. We're going to live based on the facts, the truth of God's word, and we're going to live by faith. So we need to take the enemy to our feelings every single day, whether it be at work, your friendships, your marriage, your Christian life, your church membership. Take the fight to your feelings. We need to take the fight to our flesh. And then thirdly, we need to take the fight to the devil. And by the way, he's the one that's our adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's really, while we wrestle not, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the devil and the fallen angels. We call them demons. The Bible calls them devils. Folks, that's where the real fight is. That's where the fight is. It's not with those around you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, who's the devil going to devour first? The weakest link. Who is the weakest link? The Christian that's living by their feelings. Well, nobody's talked to me today. Well, they didn't say hi. Well, they're living based on feelings. Who's the weakest link? It's the Christian that is so in the flesh. The devil's ready to attack. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like it. Resist the devil. Resist means to stand against. And he, that's the devil, will flee. He will flee to run, to escape. In other words, we can get to this place where we're fighting against the devil so much that he's going to run from us. That's a powerful place to be. We fight against the devil by staying in church. You certainly give the devil a victory when you get out of church. Amazed at people sharing stuff on Facebook right now about, well, they took our church away, didn't they? And I'm like, no, church is open. Watch out, this government's going to do this, this, and this, and we're not even taking advantage of the opportunities we do have. Well, you and I are, but we fight against the devil by staying in church. We fight against the devil by staying faithful to the Lord. We fight against the devil with the Word of God. If fourthly is this. Not only do we need to fight against our feelings every day, I've got to do that, you've got to do that. Not only do we need to fight against our old flesh, because we certainly don't want the flesh to cause us to become shipwrecked. And we need to fight against the devil, because he certainly is constantly, he knows he has but a short time, he's constantly fighting against us. But I want to say as a church that we need to take the fight to the gates of hell. We need to take the fight to the gates of hell. It's not Nancy Pelosi's office, though it's close. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And listen to this. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if I put up a gate, Brother Greg has a gate out of his place. He's a banker, so he's got to be safe. People are after him. But he's got a gate out of his place. Now, he didn't build that gate to keep himself in. I don't trust myself. I'm putting up a gate. It's not even a gate that would keep his kids in, right? It's a steel pipe fence or whatever it's made of, pipe fence. That gate is there so that people can't just show up at his house without notice. So the gate is there to keep people out. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, God said. The gates of hell cannot prevail against a warring and a witnessing church. And so I think about some of these protests, and they're putting up these gates, these fences, and people ask, you know, one person may run up and say something dumb to a cop. That's when that cop ought to get his stick and just bam. But they can't do that. That's brutality. So, but they'll do one person and then they'll back up. But then all of a sudden you see 20 or 30 people coming at the fence, and now they're moving that fence because they got together and decided this is what we want to be doing. Now, when we talk about storming the gates of hell, we're talking about a church that is not just one person, but a lot of folks in that church being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, really fighting, the Bible says, and if some have compassion, it talks about pulling them out of the fire. So the picture of that scripture is the church attacking hell rather than the other way around, rather than waiting for the devil and the devils of hell to fight against the church. So I'm simply saying to you this morning that I have to wake up every day and I have to fight against my feelings and take the fight to the feelings. Or maybe sometimes the fight does come to us and all of a sudden we feel like they didn't text us, or we feel like they didn't respond right, or we feel like they must be mad at us. And most of us in here battle this kind of stuff. And that's when it's time right then and there to square up, stand up, and man up, or woman up, or teenage up, or whatever you do, and say, I cannot sit here and let my mind go crazy and let feelings. I'm not going to suck my thumb and think, well, everybody's upset at me. I need to take the fight to my feelings and say, no, you're not controlling my life. I need to take the fight every day of my life and probably every hour of my life. I've got to take the fight to my flesh and say, no, 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 no. That's not right for my life. It's not good for my life. And fight that old flesh. I need to take the fight to the devil, and as powerful as he is. And the Antichrist one day is going to be empowered to do miracles and be empowered by Satan himself. Satan's powerful, but the Bible said as a Christian, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Bible says, I can resist the devil. And he won't just leave me for a while. He'll flee. He'll run away from the Christian who says, no, I'm not letting the devil get the victory in this area of my life. So every day I'm going to fight those three. And then every day, you know what I need? I need to make sure I have some gospel tracts on me. I need to make sure I have some God. The only thing that's going to change this world is the gospel. I like that song. I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die in this war. I'm going to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take the gospel trumpet. I'll blow it wherever I go. Oh, Lord, if you'll help me. Hey, folks, listen, we need to take the battle instead of just waiting and going, what are they going to do to the church next? I wonder what they're going to do to my family next. I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, I read this article and I watched this video and let's just see what happens next. And oh, now I'm scared. I'm living in fear when the Bible says I've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But we sit around fearful and we sit around in our flesh. And all the while, the devil has got things shut down. And all the while, the church says, well, I can't. Someone the other day, I think it was Grant, sent a picture to us that there was one of Trinity Baptist Church's gospel tracts in Mesquite on a gas pump somewhere. He probably put there trying to kiss up to the pastor of the young lady he's trying to impress. But one of our gospel tracts. Friend, listen, that's how you take the fight to the gates of hell. We're in a battle. Fight or flight. Put up a fight or say, no, I'm gonna live by feelings. And if you hurt my feelings, I'm just gonna leave. If you hurt my feelings, we'll just get a divorce. If you hurt my feelings, I'll quit my job and I'll go to the other place until they pat me on the rear end just right. And if they hurt my feelings, I'll take my toys and I'll go to the next place. And God says, no, you need to learn to take the fight to your feelings, your emotions. Take the fight to your flesh. Take the fight to the devil. Take the fight to the gates of hell. Some will fight, and some will be described as flight. Some will flee. Some will run. The question is, what will you do? Paul said to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He said, Timothy, fight the good fight, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, shoved it away. They're going to do their own thing. He said they made shipwreck. And then he names a couple of people, of whom is Hymenaeus. Hymenaeus is the one that said that the resurrection had already passed. And he said, Alexander, he said in 2 Timothy that Alexander, Paul said that Alexander had done him much evil. He said they've made shipwreck of their life, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, we need to war a good warfare. We need to fight the good fight. Folks, as Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to get into this touchy-feely society. Because here's what's going to happen. Churches are going to become emptier and emptier because we're going to listen to this stuff. And preachers, 90% of what they preach out of that Bible is going to be considered hate speech. And a lot of preachers today have given into that, and they're preaching constantly on love and on you can make it and you're this and you're that. And that's wonderful. We need some of that challenging and encouraging preaching as long as it's according to truth. But you know what I need? I need to be reminded, quit living based on how I feel every day. I need to be reminded, quit living in the flesh, letting the flesh control my life, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. I need to be reminded that though the devil may be messing with me, I can fight off the devil. I can resist the devil. And the promise of God is he will flee from me. And I need to be reminded as a Christian that I'm not just to sit back and watch the circus, but I'm supposed to do all I can to tell people about their Savior, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that they too might have an opportunity to be saved. I like this song. I know you've heard it before. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. The local church is not a recreation room. It's a gathering of the army of God to be challenged to go out and fight, but not fight everyone, everywhere, over everything and argue about all. We're to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, the Bible says. But we need to be reminded that we do have some enemies. And there are some enemies worth fighting. Fight or flight. That's a decision I have. You can go home today and fight or flight. You can go home today and say, well, you know, I just don't feel like the other young people in the youth department are accepting me. All right, what are you going to do right then? Are you going to fight or are you going to flight? You're going to say, that's silly, that's dumb, I shouldn't feel that way. That's just the old accuser of the brethren putting that in my mind. And we're going to wake up tomorrow and there's going to be an opportunity for the flesh. What are we going to do? That's what I like to wear. That's what I like to listen to. That's what I like to watch. That's where I like to go. Those are the things I like to do. What are we going to do there? We're going to fight or flight. Are we going to fight the battle or are we going to run? What are we going to do when the devil starts messing with our marriage? What are we going to do when the devil starts messing with our kids? What are we going to do when the devil starts messing with our local church? Are we going to put up a fight or are we going to say, I'm tired. Whatever happens, happens. We're going to run. What are we going to do about the folks at work and the folks in the neighborhood and the folks that don't have the gospel? We're going to put up a fight. We're going to storm the gates of hell and say, that's going to be one person that I mean. I think Bob Smith preached on it one time, roadblocks on the way to hell. And a Christian in your family, the Christian at your job, ought to be one of those roadblocks on the way to hell that they absolutely have to go around. We were out here, I think Jared and I yesterday, out here at the front door. We were standing there about to leave and these barrels that have been out here now forever, because TxDOT won't finish their job, but these barrels, all of a sudden I heard, boom, boom, and I looked in a car, a little black car, I'm having one of y'all. Ran over one of those barrels. I mean, square up, thump, thump, I thought. And I said, well, that's what they get for leaving the barrels out there for so long. I can't finish the sentence and I hear another thump, thump. And the same car hit the next barrel. And I'm like, oh my, thump, thump. And they hit the third barrel. I mean, smooth ran over it. And I said, all right, they're either old or drunk. And so much so when we left the church, we drove down there to make sure whoever was okay. And then I kind of got a laugh out of it because I thought, pick up your stinking barrels out of our ditch here. But folks, listen, that's the way we as Christians ought to be to the world, and especially to those that God puts us in contact with. It's all right. You can deny Christ. You can have pleasure in unrighteousness. You can live life your own way, but I'm going to keep giving you the gospel. You can go to hell one day if you want to when you die, but you're going to run over me to get there because I'm going to stand in the way and I'm going to do the best I can. Or we just say, let him go, fight or flight. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to. Run if you will. But as a Christian, we need to say, you know what? I came here to stay. And my feelings aren't going to stop that. My flesh is not going to stop that. The devil's not going to stop that because God says I can resist him and he'll run off. And I'm going to do the best I can to tell folks about Christ. Those are the battles we need to be fighting.